Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Hei. Before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where we have our No Say heading, where we feature three activities that are in the general realm of milk and cheese. Cholev, mechabetz, megabein. Cholev is milking an animal. Mechabetz, Rashi has two pshatim on that. One is hamamid hacholov bekeva. That's the setting up of the milk with the keva. The keva is the substance from the walls of an animal's stomach for curdling cheese. So it's, we'll say, the setting up of the milk for the making of cheese. And Rashi has a second pshat, v'li nira, mechabetz oisik min kli gemi. It's a type of reed vessel, v'nosin hakofu b'socho, and someone puts in it the congealed milk. Umei hacholov shehein nisyubi, the milk whey that's called nisyubi, is noitfin, it drips through, drips from that. And then megabein is another action in terms of, from the word, you know, you might notice the word gevina, which is cheese, is the making of cheese. So we now turn to the Gemara, and as we say, 10 lines from the top, it's essentially the second Tanaic source that you see in a frame on the page. Hacholev v'amechabetz v'amegabein, if one does any of these activities, kegrogeres, the size of a dried fig would be the amount of cheese that would result in a Torah, in the violation of these activities. Hamechabed v'mrabetz v'roi dechalos dvash. Mechabed is sweeping a house. Mrabetz is assuming that we have a dirt floor, so it's the process of sprinkling water to keep the dirt from blowing in the air. The horoi dechalos dvash is the removal of honey from cakes of honey, we'll say, from the honey comb. So, if these acts are done, shogag b'shabbos, chayav chatas, if one does it unwittingly on Shabbos, so it results in the need to bring a sin offering, indicative of a Torah level violation. Hazid b'yomtov, if one does so knowingly or deliberately on Yom Tov, loke arboim divrei Rebbe Eliezer, he would be subject to 40 lashes, technically speaking 39 lashes, as in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer, indicating, once again, these are, according to Rebbe Eliezer, these are Torah-level violations. V'chachomim omrim, echod zeh, whether it be Shabbos or Yom Tov, eino elo mishum shvus. These activities are rabbinic-level violations. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman bar Gurya iklo leNaharda. Rav Nachman went to Naharda, ba'u minei, they asked of him a question. Before we go further, let's just notice that we have a Roman numeral number 1, and a few lines later a number 2. There are two levels, two stages in the upcoming Gemara. Well, they asked him regarding these activities. And we've underlined the activities, as you can see, as you scan ahead on the Gemara. So they asked him, Cholev mishumai mechayev, what is the basis, what's the av melocha, the original, Torah level violation, the primary violation that Cholev is associated with. And we know that there are 39 primary avos melochas, as is featured in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, and we want to know which, with regard to which av melocha is each one of these activities attached. So you can see some rather an odd series of answers at the first stage of the Gemara. So they asked him, Cholev mishumai mechayev, omalu, and Rav Nachman answered, Mishum Cholev, doesn't really seem to answer the question. Mechabetz mishumai mechayev, omar lahu, mishum mechabetz. Megabein mishumai mechayev, omar lahu, mishum megabein. Omru lei, so they ask Rav Nachman, Raboch kotil koni ba'agmo havei, your teacher, is he a reed cutter in the marshes? Kotil kani is to cut reeds, ba'agmo, in the marshes, indicating that is you haven't said anything, so the instruction that you receive from your teacher and is this what you're trying to reflect over here, and hence your teacher is a reed cutter, meaning not a Torah scholar. Well, also shoyul be midrasha, he came and asked in the base medrash amrulei, and they answered cholev chayev mishum mafarik. Cholev is like mefarik, and mefarik itself is a derivative of dosh. Rashi says mefarik kamo mefarik masui. It's like removing a burden or a contents from something. Sheporik oichel mimokom sheniskase boi. You're removing the, in this case, the milk from the place that was covering it, the udders of the animal. Vahavi toloda didosh. This is a resultant activity coming from the Av Moloch of Dosh, whereby you thresh the grains, removing the contents, the edible part from the shell. The Gemara continues, Mechabetz Chayav Mishum Borer. Mechabetz, as we saw above in the Rashi, it's a process where you're separating the whey from the milk. So it's a process of separation, which is associated with borer, and megabein chayav mishum bone. The making of cheese is a chiyuv of building. The source continues, hamechabed v'hamarabetz v'horoyde chalos da'atvash. This we saw quoted earlier, and if it's not 100% clear, so make use of the little arrow you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see above where this was quoted. So these activities, mechabed, merabetz, merode chalos dvash, shogag, b'shabes chayev chatas, hezid, b'yom tov loki arboim, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Well, the Gemara wants to focus in on Rabbi Eliezer, primarily on what he said regarding the removal of the honey from the honey from the beehive, or the honeycomb where the honey is manufactured. Omar Rebbe Lozer, my time with Rebbe Lozer. So the Amora Rebbe Lozer asks, what is the basis of Rebbe Lozer, who says that there is a Torah level violation in removing honey from where the honey is produced? Dichtiv, he answers, the Pasuk says, Vayitbol Uyso Biyairis Hadvash. And he dipped his staff in the Yairis Hadvash. Now, a Yairis is associated with a forest. Dvash is the honey. V'chima inyan yar eitzel dvash. What's the connection between a forest and honey? Elo lomar loch. Rather, this conveys the following. Ma yar hatosh menu b'shabes chayev chatas. Just like a forest, one who breaks off a branch from a tree is in violation of Shabbos, and if he does so b'shogi, he would bring a sin offering, a chatos. Af chalos dvash harodim imenu b'shabes chayev chatas. Likewise, the removal of the honey from its source of production will also be chayev chatas. Amemar shora zilcha b'mechuza. Amemar allowed. Zilcha is larabetz. We just saw that above. Merabetz, that's to water down a floor, to scatter water on a floor. And we have to emphasize the main point is that Amemar was dealing with a stone floor situation as opposed to what we mentioned earlier, a dirt floor. This is a stone floor, and he allowed the splattering or the sprinkling of water on the stone floor. B'mechuza, in the city of Mechuza, Omar, and he explained. In other words, we saw above that Merabes is Osir, whether it's an Isur Daraisel according to Rebbe Lezer or according to the Rabbonan, an Isur Darabonan. How is it that Amemar is allowing it? So he explains, Taimu Mayim Rabbonan, what is the reason the Rabbonan forbade the Merabes process, Dilma Osi Lashvuye Gumos, in sprinkling water to keep the dirt from blowing in the wind on a dirt floor? You might come to smooth out the dirt floor and fill in holes, fill in depressions. That's lashvuy egumos, and smoothing out of evening a dirt floor would be a Torah violation. Hacholek egumos, but when you're dealing with a paved or a stone floor, you don't have that problem to begin with. So the whole basis of asering larabates doesn't apply, and therefore I allowed it. Rabo, we have a little aleph here because there is a series of names, two lashonas as the names, regarding the name. So the first version, Rabo Toisva, that's a name. Ashkechei l'Ravino, deka mitzdar mehevla. Rabo met Ravino, and who was being bothered by hevla. Hevla is generally explained as heat, but Rashi explains, shehoyo avak ula umarabe hevel. There was a dust floating in the air that was increasing the heat level. The Amri law, another version by way of names, Mark Shisha bray de Rava Ash Khay de Rav Ashi de Kamitstair Mehev law. So Mark Shisha found Rav Ashi upset, bothered by the dust creating the heat. Omar Le Lo Sova Lomor Lohodasanya, do you not hold from the following source? In other words, we're going to now see a source whereby he is saying why suffer? There is a solution, as is expressed in the following source. Haroitzel Rabbis is based on Shabbos. Someone who wants to merabates his house on Shabbos, maybe arevim leamayim, he can bring a bowl full of water. Varochitz ponav bezavazu, yodav bezavazu, raglav bezavazu. He washes his face in one corner of the house, his hands, his arms in another corner, and his legs in another corner. And while doing that, so water splatters, and v'nimtza habayis misrabeis me'elov, and without doing a direct act of sprinkling the water on the floor, the same goal, however, is accomplished. So since you are focused on a heter, a mutter activity, the fact that the dust gets treated with the water, let's say secondarily, then I didn't want to say inadvertently, but secondarily, it's a result of his washing his face and arms and legs. So you accomplished what you really need. Amalei, so Rav Ashi says, lavadatoi. There are two pshatim in Rashi on this. One is, the first one is, lo hoisi zohur. I didn't remember that source. And that's like, you're saying a good idea. And Rashi's second shot, though, Rabbo said, Pishu lo svirle, I don't agree with what that source is teaching. Tona, we have another source. Isho chachoma merabetzes beiso b'shabbos. Rashi explains that isho chachoma is Eishes Talmud Chochem, Ubas Talmud Chochem, Sheshoma Me'avia, a woman who is married to a Torah scholar, or the daughter of a Torah scholar, that heard this source that we just learned, will be able to accomplish the reboots, the watering down of the floor on Shabbos. And that's by her. Rashi points out she'll wash cups in one corner of the house and other receptacles in another corner of the house and accomplish l'rabbi t'sabayis without doing it directly. Continuing in the Gemara, v'idna d'svira lon k'Rabbi Shimon. Now that we hold like Rabbi Shimon in the realm of what's called dover she'en meskaven, shori afilu l'chatchila. One is allowed, even without any of these tricks, these suggested tricks, to water down his floor. The Shitas Rabbi Shimon is, once again, Dover Shein Meskavein. If he doesn't have intention for smoothing down the floor, his intention is simply to keep the dirt from flying in the air. It might be that in sprinkling down the floor, so the floor level will become evened, but it's not for sure. Therefore, if it does result, it was something that he didn't have intent for. His intent is simply to keep the dirt from blowing in the air. So, since we hold like Rav Shimon that a situation like that, Dover She'ein Miskavim, where you don't have intent for smoothing out the floor, then the activity is allowed. Therefore, sprinkling down the floor, where your intention is to keep the dust from blowing in the air, becomes allowed as a first choice. Hatolesh me'otzit nokuv chayav shena nokuv poter. One who removes, cuts from a plant growing from a flower pot, nokuv means with a hole in it, so that is considered a Torah prohibition. And if it's a sealed flower pot, namely it's no hole in it, it is potter. It's not in violation of the Torah. Rabbi Shimon poter, Bozeh uvozeh. Rabbi Shimon is lenient and says even with a holed flower pot, you are not in violation of a Torah precept. The Rashi points out regarding the Tanakama, the first opinion that Toyush Moses Nokuv Chayav, Rashi says the Avikim Mechubar. It's as if it's attached to the ground, and there is, of course, a prohibition of kotzer in cutting plants from their point of growth. And if it's growing from the ground, it's called, it would be kotzer. The Yonek Minakaka, how is a holed flower pot considered attached? Because there is it derives yiniko, is a sustenance or a nutrition from the ground, al yidei hanekev, through the hole shemariach lechlichis hakarka, that the dampness emitted from the ground rises into the flower pot through the hole. Vafilu hanekev bedofno, even if the hole is on the side of the pot, of the flower pot. The Gemara, Rami Le Abaye Le Rava. Before we continue, we should point out we have a topic heading, and we've called this Shitas Rabbi Shimon Ba'otzitz Nokuv. We're going to be focusing on Rabbi Shimon and his opinion regarding the whole flower pot. Haim Nechshav Kemechubo Lekarka, is it considered attached to the ground? Legabi Shabbos, that's Hatolesh Men, one who removes a plant or cuts a plant growing from such a thing on Shabbos. And a second topic, Hechshir Lekabel Tuma. Hechshir Lekabel Tuma is the phenomenon where fruits or vegetables become wet. Once they become wet and you're happy with their... In a simple example, is someone washes off an apple. The apple is damp and then becomes subject to Kabbalas Tuma. That means if a dead sheretz were to touch the apple after it has become damp, it's Mukhshir Lekabel Tuma, and this phenomenon is based on Psukim, V'chitayim Mayim Al Zera. And when we say Mukhshir Lekabel Tuma, means it becomes susceptible to absorbing Tuma. Not so is the case, for example, of a fruit, let's say, that was never wet. A fruit, and as well, a fruit growing from a tree. It's a fruit that's attached to the ground, even if it is wet, is not Mekabel Tuma. So the issue of something being Mukhshir Lekabel Tuma has relevance to something that is detached. So our Gemara, Rami Le Abaye Le Rava, Abaye raises a contradiction to Rava, and Ri'amri Lo, another version by way of names, Rav Chiyo Bar Rav Le Rav, Tanan. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Poter Bozel Bozet. Rav Shimon exempts even in the case of a Tolesh from an Otzitz Nokuv, cutting from a plant growing from a holed flower pot. Alma Nokuv Rav Shimon Kisheino Nokuv Mashvile. The result of this is that Rabbi Shimon views the holed flower pot as if it's without a hole in it. And something without a hole in it is considered totally detached from the ground. And therefore, if you cut off a plant, you cut from a plant growing from a solid, unholed flower pot, there is no Shabbos violation. So and certainly on a Torah level, there's no Shabbos violation. So Rabbi Shimon, by being poter bozeh bozeh, whether it's hold or unhold, he then shows us that a nokuv, according to Rabbi Shimon, the hold is treated like an unhold. V'ramin hu, we raise a contradiction of Shimon Omer. Ein bein nokuv l'she'eno nokuv. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Elo l'hachshu zroim bilvad. There's no difference between the hold and the unhold flower pot, except the realm of Hechshir Zroyim. So what we have to emphasize, though, is that there is a difference. When we learned the Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon said, Poter Bozeh Bozeh, he seemed to equate the hold with the unhold. Here, there is a difference regarding Hechshir Zroyim, which means that if it has a hole in it, so the fruits growing from such a flower pot will not become Mukhshir Lekabel Tuma, because the hole makes it as if it's attached. And we said before, items that are attached to the ground or viewed as attached are not subject to Kabbalas Tuma. If it's unholed, If it's a solid type flower pot, then it's considered detached and is subject to Hechsher L'Kabel Tumo. Omar Lei. So Rav responds, or in the first version of names, Ravo responds, L'Kol Mili Rabbi Shimon Ketolush Mashvi Lei. Regarding all matters, Rabbi Shimon equates the Nokuv, the hold, with something that is Tolush, that's considered detached. In other words, the Nokuv is considered detached from the ground. Veshaini le'inyan tuma. However, with regard to the realm of tuma, it is different, insofar as that with regard to a hold flower pot, it will be considered attached. Da Torah ribsu tara etzel roim. The Torah conveys the idea that there is more tahara than tuma. There's more tahara, includes more additional possibilities of tahara when it comes to plants. Namely, that even though a nokuv is considered tolush, nevertheless, the fruit growing from an otzitz nokuv will not become mufshul lekabel tumah shenemar. The pasuk says, "Al kol zera zeirua asher yizorea." Rashi explains, "Asher yizorea kederech shalom motzi lizria." When is that pasuk? We should have mentioned is the pasuk that deals with something mufshul lekabel tumah. So the when does that take place? Kedero shalomotzi lizria, the way someone takes something to be planted, limutei mechuber kolduhu, to the exclusion of something that is attached in any way. Lahochi yahani zrius yiseri, the extra words zera in this pasuk help zrius yiseri dekra for this purpose, to show us that if it's considered attached in any way, so it won't be mukshu lekabel tumah. Umihu she'eno nokuv tolush gomor hu. However, something that has no hole in it, that's totally detached, and that's why it will be mufshul lekabel tumah. We should point out Rashi lechol mili. Rashi just above this, we saw the response that regarding everything, Reb Shimon views the nokuv as tolush. What do we mean regarding everything? So Rashi lists off different topics regarding Shabbos. That's l'shabbos v'liknos m'mishicha v'lo b'kesef, and to acquire, one would acquire the flower pot the way you acquire portables. That's through drawing it and not through a monetary payment, which is the way you acquire land. And l'prusbul she'eno nichtav elo al hakarka, namely that the prusbul device which enables people to collect debts even after the Shemitah year, that is written provided the borrower is in possession of ground, and it would not be sufficient if he is in possession of a hold flower pot. That would not be here's a nice pun, it would not be the grounds for writing a prusbul. We continue in the Gemara. Bo mine hahu savo me rabbi zera. Shoresh keneged nekev ma li omar rabbi Shimon. Imagine a hold flower pot that has a little bit of root. The shoresh is the root that's opposite the hole. Would Rabbi Shimon consider, ma li omar rabbi Shimon means, would Rabbi Shimon consider this situation like it's attached? In other words, up till now we saw that Rabbi Shimon views hold flower pots as detached. What about the case of Shoresh Keneged Nekev? Well, Reishtik Vlomer Le Vlomidi, Rabbi Zera remained silent. Didn't answer. The non-answer would be indicative of his not being sure. Zimno Chado, on another occasion, Ashichei Diyosi V'komar, the Hahu Sabo, the old man, found Rabbi Zera, met Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera was holding forth, saying the following. Umoide Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon will concede that it's considered attached. Shimnikev b'chdei toroso. That if a flower pot has a hole in it the size through which an olive could fall through, then it's considered attached. Before we continue in the Gemara, a structural note is presented on the side, the Mivneh. We feature a diamond with Roman numerals 1 and 2, and the diamond highlights the word Umodeh, Rabbi Shimon. There's Shnei Lishonos for Rabbi Shimon. We'll see two versions of Rabbi Shimon. Mosai hu moide, when is it that he concedes Shekli Cheres Menukav, a clay flower pot that has a hole in it, Nechshav Hatsomech bo, that which is growing from it is considered Kimechuber, is considered attached. Nafgamina Legabi Tolesh Bishabas. Practical legal ramifications is one who cuts off from such a plant on Shabbos. So the Hahu Sabo, according to the first diamond in our Gemara, sees Rabbi Zero saying that if it's Nikev Bechtei Torosso, if it has a hole in it the size allowing an olive to fall through, it would be considered attached. Omar Le, the Hahu Sabo reacts. Hashto Sherush Keneged Nekev. Boy Minof Lamus Leave Lomidi. I asked you about the case of the root opposite the hole, which would appear to be more obviously attached. After all, the hole, the root is opposite the hole of the flower pot, so that it's in your mind's eye, it's fairly attached to the ground. The root is right there. And I asked you about that. And you were in doubt. It wasn't clear to you. Nikev Bechtei Taroso Mibaya. The lesser obvious case, which less attached. In other words, it merely has a hole in it with the size an olive could fall through. If you were in doubt about my case, this, all the more so you should be in doubt about this. Rashi, Nikev Bechtei Taroso Mibaya, Dahavelon Lisfuki Bey, Behanoch, the Lav Keneged Hanekev, that you should have been in doubt even more so about these cases where it's there's a hole as a hole where there's no root opposite the hole. The Ad Pashtislu the Kul Mechuber Ninu, and yet you answer that all of them are considered attached even without the root opposite the hole. Omar Abaye, so Abaye responds, the E Itmar Loho de Rabbi Zera, if Rabbi Zera had said anything about something being considered attached, a hole being considered attached, in other words, where Rabbi Shimon would concede it's attached, hochi hu de'itmar, it must be that Rabbi Zera said as follows. And hence we have this presented as a second version of Rabbi Zera's presentation of Rabbi Shimon. Umode Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon will concede that the flower pot is considered attached in Nikev Lamato Mirevius if it has a hole in it at a point low, so low on the vessel that it would no longer hold a Revius, which is a liquid measure. It would no longer hold a Revius in it. If you have a vessel that can't hold even a Revius, so it no longer has a Kli status. It's not considered a kli anymore. It's not considered a vessel anymore. So, out of default, it's considered, therefore, attached to the ground. If it's not considered a kli, so it would be considered like karka. And, therefore, under those circumstances, Rabbi Shimon will concede an otzitz would be considered, an otzitz is the flower pot, would be considered attached. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have on the side a note, Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading with structural note. Double underlines appear as you scan down the page, and they highlight, there are actually five of them, you can see how they're numbered, and they highlight what we have written on the side, Chomesh Midos Bekli Cheres Beinyan Tuma. There are five dimensions with regard to holes that have ramifications regarding Tuma. The Gemara, Omar Rava, Chomesh Midos Bekli Cheres. Number one, and we're going to be going from the smallest type hole to the largest type hole. It's also noteworthy we're talking about clay vessels. Nikev Kemotzi Mashke, if a hole appears, develops in a vessel, it's a very fine hole. How fine is it that it's such that liquids would drip from it? It has a slight leak in the vessel. A person would not throw out such a vessel. However, imagine someone had a vessel that was already broken. That's called a gistera. So it's a vessel fragment. And he happens to use the vessel fragment. He uses it, as the Gemara describes, as a coaster. He'll use this vessel fragment as a type of a plate that he would place under a cup. That's called, that fragment is called a gistera. So now, with regard to the hole that's called moitzi mashke, called a drip hole, a vessel, a complete vessel that has a slight leak in it, is still considered a vessel with regard to all areas of halacha. And the first one that the Gemara says, it's considered an area, it's considered a total vessel, even with regard to the preparation of the mei chatos, that's the mixing of the water from a live spring with the ashes of the red heifer that's used for purification from tumas meis, where a person had become defiled to the dead. That's called lekadesh bo mei chatos. So where does the hole have hole significance, where it plays a role? That would be if you had a shard or a fragment of a vessel that you were using up till now as a coaster, and that shard developed a hole in it, a drip level hole. At that point, you would throw it out. Again, you won't throw out a complete vessel that has a slight drip in it, but a fragment that you were using up till now as a plate or as a coaster, you will, once it develops a slight drip in it, you will throw it out. So it would no longer, the gistera would no longer be able to makabel tuma. So let's read this in the Gemara. Nikev kemotzi mashke tohor milatame gistera. It won't be mekabel tuma anymore as a gistera. In other words, if you had designated a shard to be of use to you, so since you designated it as something useful, so it would be mekabel tuma. However, once the shard develops this drip type hole, this very fine hole, it will no longer be mekabel tuma. Or if it happened to be tuma, the tuma will depart because of its new status, having a hole in it. However, v'adayin klihu l'kadish bo mechatos, if you're dealing with a complete vessel, it's considered a complete vessel with regard to all areas of halacha, not only for it to makabel tuma, but you can even use it for preparing the mechatos, the mixing of the ash with the water. Second stage, a larger hole, slightly larger. Nikev kekoines mashke. The hole in this vessel is large enough that water or that the mamashke liquids would enter it. That's a larger hole. In other words, you can have a hole from which there's a slight drip, but water or liquids won't enter the vessel through such a fine hole. However, if it's koines mashke, that's a larger hole. At that point, tohor milikadesh boi mei chatos. The term tohor means it becomes nullified. It's a botel from, you can no longer use it for the preparation of the mei chatos. V'adayin kli hu lahachshir bo zroim. However, it still is considered a vessel with regard to hechshir lekabel tuma. In other words, a plant growing in a vessel that has this small hole, this koines mashke size hole, it's not considered a hold flower pot. It's considered as if it's a sealed flower pot, a closed one, and therefore it's considered detached. And as such, it will be subject to hechshir lekabel tuma. Things that are growing from there could become muchshir lekabel tuma. Nikev kishurish koton, if it has a hole that's even larger, it's the size hole through which a small root would pass. Tohor milahachshir bo yizroyim, it's at this point considered attached to the ground with regard to hechshir lekabel tuma. This, of course, according to the shitas of Rabbanan, it's considered an otzitz nokuv, and as such attached to the ground, and therefore it's not going to be muchshir lekabel tuma. Ve'adayin klihu lekabel bo zesim. However, with regard to the general rules of vessels and their ability to makabel tuma, the vessel that has a hole in it, kishorish koton, is still considered a complete vessel and will makabel tuma. Nikev kamotzi zesim. However, if the vessel developed a hole large enough that an olive could fall through such a hole, tohor milkabel bo zesim, it no longer is considered a vessel with regard to holding olives, which basically means it's no longer considered a vessel that could makabel tuma. This is what's called the shiur l'tuma by kli cheres, that's made for food purposes. So it's considered tohor as such, namely it won't makabel tuma anymore. Vadayin kli hu lekabel bo rimonim, which means if you have a vessel that has a hole large enough for an olive to pass through, however, a rimon, assuming a rimon is a pomegranate, which is a larger fruit than an olive, a pomegranate won't fall through such a hole. Therefore, if you designated this vessel as a fruit bowl for holding large fruits, for holding pomegranates, so with because of your designation, it will be makabel tuma. So it could still be makabel tuma if you designated it as a fruit bowl for large fruits. Nikev kemotzi rimonim. This is the fifth level, the largest hole. If the hole is so large that even a rimon could fall through it, tohor miklum. It's not mekabel tuma as a vessel. Unless, Rashi adds, unless you happen to set aside this vessel with such a big hole in it to serve as a gistera. You still want to use it as a coaster. So if you set it aside as that, so then the rules of gistera will apply. And we mentioned them above. The Gemara continues. Ve'im hukaf tzomid posil. This could conceivably be considered a sixth level, but we're not going to actually write in a number because we're not dealing with a specific size hole. Nevertheless, it is an additional level of analysis or of sizes. Namely, you had a vessel, a clay vessel that was sealed. That's hukaf tzomid posel, means it had a lid on it that was attached, cemented onto the top. A vessel that is mukaf tzomid posel, we know, protects its contents, let's say its food content, from becoming tome. Tuma enters through the opening of a vessel. The posuk says, kol kli posuach. If a vessel is surrounded by a sealed, cemented seal, the seal cemented onto the vessel, which is called mukaf tzomid posil, the vessel will protect its contents from tuma, ad shivchas rubo, means until the majority of the vessel is cut open. So you can have a vessel that has a large hole in it, but it's not the majority of the size of the vessel. Tuma will not enter it. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Asi. Shomati kli cheres shiuro kemotzi rimon. Rav Asi says, I heard that the maximum shiur, the maximum size with regard to vessels, clay vessels, is a hole large enough for a rimon to pass through. Omar lei, Rava. Rava responds, Shema lo shomata, elo bemukav tzomid posil. Meaning, maybe what you heard regarding the rimon is that if it has a hole the size of a motzi rimon, that a rimon could fall through, so then it's no longer going to protect against tuma. In other words, even though it's mukav tzomid posil, it will no longer protect the contents. The Gemara says, how could Rava say that? Rava hu di Omar, but Rava, who is the author of the five levels of holes that we mentioned before, Rava himself, we have a little arrow, by the way, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow before, and that was above Rava speaking. Rava said that when it comes to Mukav Tzomet Posiel, Rava Hudiyomar Mukav Tzomet Posiel Ad Sheyifchas Rubo, that until its majority split open, it could still protect from Tumah. And not just until the hole is the size of a remo. So our question right now is a seeming inconsistency in Rava. Rava, in responding to Rav Asi, says that the significance of Motzi Rimon is such that if it had been a sealed vessel, if the hole is the size of a Rimon, Tumah will now enter. But how could that have been said by Rava, when Rava himself said that when you're dealing with a sealed vessel, it protects from Tumah seemingly way beyond Rimon until the majority of the vessel is split open? The Gemara answers, Lo Kashya, there's no inconsistency in Rava. We continue at the top of Daf Tzadibov. Ha v'ravravi, v'ha v'zutri. If it's a large vessel, so then the standard is that the Mukav Tzomet Posel will protect until the majority is split open. V'ha v'zutri, if it's a small vessel, then if it develops the hole the size of a rimon, though it was originally Mukav Tzomet Posel, it will no longer protect the contents from Tumah. Omer of Asi, Shonin. Shonin is an expression introducing a Tanaic source. So Rav Asi says we have the following teaching. Kli cheres, shi'uro b'koines mashke. A clay vessel, the first shi'ur, the smallest shi'ur mentioned, to mevatel it partially from a vessel status is koines mashke, which is the level at which a level of hole whereby liquids could enter. V'lo omru motzi mashke, the dimension known as motzi mashke, which will slight leak, that is elo le'inyan gistero bava. That has significance only with regard to the shard, the gistero that you were using. That if it develops a hole the size of a motzi mashke, though you were using it up till now as a gistero, as a coaster, it's interesting how the word coaster sounds a little bit like the word gistero. If you have a good imagination, you can see the sound similarity. So the Gemara asks now, my taima, why is it that in the realm of gistero, if it's motzi mashke, does it then loses its tuma capacity? Omar mar zutra b'reidu Rav Nachman. Rav Zutra explains, l'fi she'ein omrim, people don't say hove gistero legistero, which translates, I mean, let's bring another coaster for the coaster. In other words, if you have a shard that you are using as a coaster, you're not going to be interested in preserving it, in continuing its use by bringing another, if it develops a hole that's motzi mashke, by bringing another coaster for it. At that point, you would say, well, it's a shard anyway, and now it's also leaking, I might as well throw it out. And because of that, it no longer has vessel significance and would no longer be mekabel tuma. But once again, this shi, or this dimension of motzi mashke, has relevance only with regard to the shard. But if you had a complete vessel that developed a slight hole, a leak level hole, you won't throw out the vessel, and hence it's still considered a complete vessel with regard to all vessel related halachas. Omar Ula, pligi bo trei amoroi b'marova. Ula says that in Eretz Yisrael there's a controversy between two Amoroyim regarding the realm of Hechsher Zroyim, as will become clear. Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda, these are the two Amoroyim. Chal Omar Kemotzi Rimon, a vessel will be considered attached and no longer capable of being machshir, the stuff that grows from it won't be mufshir l'kabel tumah if it has a hole the size of motzi rimon, which is a very large hole. V'chad omar kishoresh koton, and the other opinion says if it has the hole the size that a root, a small root, could fit through, it is at that point considered attached and fruits growing from it would no longer be mufshir l'kabel tumah. So we have two opinions here that are fairly extreme, if you will. One says it's considered attached only if it has this very large hole, if the flower pot from which the fruit is growing has a very large hole. And the other opinion says even if it has a very small hole. The Simonech, in order to remember that the machlokis that Ula quotes is a machlokis we'll call in the extremes, remember the following saying, Echad ha-marbe ve-echad ha-mamid. This is a quote from another source, an unrelated source, but it's a well-known saying that, and therefore if you remember this and associate Echad ha-marbe ve-echad ha-mamid with this realm of hechsher l'kabel tumo, you will be able to remember that the two shitos, one is the very large marbe, one the large one, the rimon dimension, and the other one is mamet, the small dimension, the shoresh koton dimension. And the value in remembering this is you won't get confused, you won't make the mistake of thinking that either one of these opinions holds the middle level hole, the motzi zesim level hole. In other words, that the motzi zesim is not the shiur according to either one of these opinions that would make a difference with regard to it being considered mukhshar lekabel tumah, considered attached. So that even though motzi zayas is a well-known dimension, it doesn't figure in this immediate discussion, and that you'll remember by this, by remembering just the common phrase of Echad ha-marbe ve-echad ha-mamid. Omar Rav Chinuno Bar Kahano Mishmei the Rebbe Eliezer Kli Cheres Shiuro Kemotzi Zesim. The clay vessel, if it develops a hole the size of an olive that an olive could pass through, and the vessel happened to have been Tomei, if it happened to have been Tomei, the Tumah will depart because of this hole. The vessel loses its significance, and with the loss of significance is also Tahara, the accomplishment of the purification. The Tumah is removed. More Kshisha Brei Derabo Misayim Bo Mishmei Derabbi Lezer. More Kshisha concludes or finishes off in the name of Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer is the one that we had underlined just two lines up, so he finishes it off. V'harei hein kikli glolim ukli avonim ukli adoma she'ein mekablin tuma lo midivri terv lo midivri sofren. The clay vessel that developed a hole that's motzi zayas is not mekabel tuma, just like these other kinds of vessels. Clay glolim are vessels made of feces, or vessels made of stone, or vessels made of mud, clay adoma. They are not mekabel tuma, whether it be on a Torah level and even on a rabbinic level. Rashi adds over here, Harei hu kekli glolim mishenikev kemotzi zayis v'afilu yichodim lirimoinim. Even if you set aside such a vessel for as a rimon bowl to hold rimonim, it won't mekabel tuma. Rashi adds the idea of the statement that says klei bale batim shiurin krimonim, that the size of a hole whereby a vessel loses its vessel status is if it's a rimon size. That is true with regard to wooden vessels, but with regard to clay vessels, the vessel loses its vessel status with an olive size hole in it. Uv'inyan somit posil ad shiyivchas rubo. And with regard to what we learned above about a vessel, a clay vessel that's sealed with its seal cemented to its top and its ability to protect its contents from tumah, it continues to protect its contents from tumah until the majority of the vessel is broken open. That is the conclusion of the 10th perek of Shabbos, Perek HaMatzniah, and with that we conclude our shiur for today.